And welcome to Stirring the Pot. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes. I hope you'll join us as we discuss all things food-related, from food's cultural significance to mouth-watering recipes, culinary history, food politics and trends. My guests and I will share stories, ideas, recipes, and the experiences of Vashon cooks in their kitchens. As is customary on the first Wednesday of the month, my guest is Tom Conway. Hello, Tom.
You have, it's like you have royalty.
Yes,
it's your royal day.
It is a royal day.
Oh, I keep
we're missing Chris Austin today because he's out doing one of his wild tours of the island.
That's right.
And instead, we have Ms. Arlette Moody here with us.
Yay!
And she's going to entertain us sometimes, and she's going to do the engineering for us. Thank you, Arlette. I appreciate your coming in. And hello. I didn't tell her she was going to need a mic.
That's right. You're very welcome, Linda.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, Arlette wasn't being rude. She just didn't have a mic.
She just didn't have a mic. Yeah. So anyway, today is August. We're in August already. And Tom and I were talking the other day about all of the bounty that we run into in August here on the island. And one of the things we were talking about was everybody's got a lot of zucchini. So we're just going to leave that one alone. We're not going to talk about zucchini today. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about, and Tom mentioned too, was how you can get some of those wonderful, new, fresh products from the farmers, and that is Vashon Fresh.
Oh, yeah. It's. I think it's one of the best-kept secrets on Vashon. You know, like a lot, I've heard when people say stuff like, oh, I wish we had Amazon Fresh.
Delivery.
Delivery.
Yeah.
And I go, well, you do. And,
well,
and
you do.
It's great. If you go to the Vashon Fresh website, mm-hmm. And it's VashonFresh.com. And what's really cool is you can see what's available each week. They deliver it on Wednesday. If you spend over $25, they'll deliver it to your house. It's all local goods. It's all freshly mm-hmm. produced or cooked or made or basically things you'd find at the farmer's market. And sometimes even more variety because they can control the picking a little better and what they're getting. But
so you can just go online and order what you want.
Right. And if it's under 25, there are like three or four locations in town, you can just pick it up.
And so you don't pay the fee.
Exactly.
Right.
And sometimes
right.
people worry that like, oh, well, I'm not seeing what I'm getting or picking, but I can tell you it's amazing quality. And plus the farmers really want to impress you. And so you're getting really great stuff. And I've always found that they tend to benefit me when they weigh it as well. So.
Well, they do. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll add an extra potato or two.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really nice. I love it. Well, you know, August is a month of pleasure and bounty in the gardens, and we just have so much. One of my favorite authors is Mary Oliver,
mm-hmm.
and she wrote a poem about August.
Hmm.
And I thought I'd share that with you, Tom, because I know you're dying to hear it.
No, I would. I love poetry.
I do too. Okay, it's called August.
Especially if it rhymes.
Well, this doesn't rhyme. You're going to be
just
all
kidding.
Disappointed now.
I said that for the erudites.
Mary Oliver. When the blackberries hang swollen in the woods, in the brambles nobody owns, I spend all day among the high branches, reaching my ripped arms, thinking of nothing, cramming the black honey of summer into my mouth. All day my body accepts what it is. In the dark creeks that run by there is this thick paw of my life, darting among the black bells, the leaves. There, this is a happy tongue.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah.
I love, you know, the sign of a good writer, a great writer is, you know, I'm there with her as she's telling you this. And blackberries too, I think most people in the Northwest we have a love-hate relationship.
Like we do. We definitely do.
For 11 months, we hate the little buggers, but then one month they show up.
Maybe
with
2 months.
2 months,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With this incredible berry with great mm-hmm. flavor. And mm-hmm. and plus, the back roads smell like blackberries. Like
you can smell them, you know.
You
and
can.
I had one of the, can I say, biggest disappointments, maybe not of my life, but in recent history.
It wasn't our dinner last month.
No,
was
it wasn't. It wasn't your cooking. But so for years, I've been going to a secret place on Vashon to pick blackberries.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to tell you where it is. But it's the most wonderful blackberries you'll ever find. And there's no traffic there. And it's just.
And
so
you never shared this with me.
Well.
Was this before you knew me, I hope?
Yeah, way before.
Okay,
I knew
that's
you.
Good okay. then. Okay, good to go.
Yeah, and so anyway, it was owned by an elderly gentleman and his wife, both of whom have passed on since in the last probably 18 months or so. So this year, I thought, well, I'll just go ask the new owners, because it was sort of a, what's the word now? Curated blackberry patch.
Curated.
Right. Yeah, it was a curated.
They arranged them for
they
you
arranged
before
the
you picked
patch.
Them.
And really, it was. It was a beautiful patch that he had gardened and kept up and made beautiful and put benches beside it.
Oh, nice.
So anyway, I thought, I'll just go ask the new owners if they'd mm-hmm. mind if I pick some blackberries, because there's a plethora of them. There's enough for the whole island there.
I'm worried there's going to be somebody on a front porch with a shotgun saying, get off
no,
my property.
No, they're lovely people.
Oh, okay.
They're lovely people, but they don't like blackberries and they mowed them all down.
Oh. Painful.
Oh, I was very disappointed.
It is, because when you have a good patch and they're sort of that consistent each year as being mm-hmm. a good patch, because there are other areas where, you know, you really, as I like to say, it's kind of like the scene where the prince is trying to get to Sleeping Beauty, you know, and the brambles engulfed the entire structure.
Well, speaking of fairy tales, mm-hmm. you know the legend or the saying that you never should eat a blackberry after the 11th of October?
Yeah, because the devil spits on it.
Yeah, well, or peas.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah, sometimes he does that. And that old saying comes from England. And then there's some legend and lore around blackberries in your dreams.
Hmm.
Do you ever dream about blackberries?
Never.
I never have either, but I don't have a love life either. So
blackberries
are about love life.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Oh, that makes sense then.
And I know that's what I said.
Yeah. Here we are. Hi, don't ever leave me.
Wait,
be my friend forever.
I will. Okay. I will. And then blackberries are also really good luck for casting spells to make somebody some money.
Oh, nice. Do you know about black? What's sort of funny about blackberry? Well, maybe it's not funny, but anyway, when I was working on my house, you know, which is like over 100 years old, and I was taking down some of the old wallpaper and having to repair walls.
Mm-hmm.
And the wallpaper, it so cracks me up. The wallpaper in this room is like 1892.
Mm-hmm.
So it's early on. And the wallpaper they used was blackberry wallpaper. It's like basically,
like vines
that were, yeah, it was rendered as a, like these crazy wild vines with stickers all over them. And then big juicy blackberries at the end. And that was the, you know, I'd like to say it was in a William Morris style, but not really.
But not quite. No,
it was early. It was from the five and dime down at...
did you save a piece of it?
I did. I took pictures of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see that sometime.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes. Yeah.
So there's different kinds of blackberries to be found on the island, right? You have your ones that are not from here.
The
ones that are... That's the ones that are more prolific here on the mm-hmm. island.
Yes.
Then you have the natives, and they're smaller.
They're littler and more bitter.
They have a more beautiful leaf.
Right.
Yes. Right. And then you have the weird ones that have the purple, thin, ropey vine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those are called creepers or something.
They're still a blackberry.
It's still a blackberry, but it's a different vine. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
And now people, there's a really great sort of advancement of cultivated blackberries, which seems sort of odd that you would cultivate them, but I do. And they're a thornless variety. They're great. It's one called Chester Thornless, one called Triple Crown. And a blackberry without thorns is an extraordinarily beautiful thing, because you can pretty much dance in the middle of that patch and not be hurt.
How do they taste, though?
They're great.
Are they
They're
good?
Really good. Yeah, what they do is they tend to hybridize them with wild berries and then and then a thornless mutant.
I thought you had to earn your blackberry, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. You know, you should bleed. You should bleed when you make a pie.
Yeah, like Mary Oliver talked about her ripped arms.
Yeah.
And she wasn't talking about muscles.
No.
She was...
Do you know, one of our grocery stores on the island, one of two,
mm-hmm.
When I first moved here, it was one of the funniest scenes. There, it was in the summer, it was late August, and somebody's asking where the blackberries were, and the produce manager said, "Well, we don't have any." And she said, "What do you mean you don't have blackberries?" And he said, "Well, we usually just go outside."
Or point her to the frozen food.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Go over across the road.
Interestingly enough, 97% of blackberries, fresh blackberries, into the United States came from Mexico last year. 97%.
Really? That makes you know, like I apparently
don't
know
how does that make
the
sense?
Geography or the topography of Mexico must be like mountainous region.
Oh, there are. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
I'm sure there are, but it must be like I would think it'd be a cooler area.
Well, guess where the most frozen ones came from?
I don't know.
Chile.
Chile, mm-hmm. which has a climate very much like our own.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. yeah. So they had 61% of the imports into the United States.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I just find that really interesting because they're so prevalent.
Yeah.
In the United States. I found a recipe for blackberry lassi. Have you ever had that? Have you had lassi, like a yogurt, Indian yogurt drink with cardamom in it?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think you're talking about the dog.
I was thinking of like, what's dog. That? Jimmy's in the well and he's having a, he's having a, an Indian yogurt drink. What?
No, lassi.
You know, one time, I have to, a little aside here, Tom. Uh-huh. Yesterday I was talking to someone and they said, are you going to get back on the radio? And I said, yeah, I'm going to go in tomorrow with Tom Conway. And she said, oh yeah, it's the first of the month free for all.
What? You know, sounds like somebody's having a little bitter in their tea.
No, they're just having a little fun.
Okay, good.
But anyway, so your comments.
We will have to visit her after.
Yes, we will.
I'm assuming I'm trying to figure out which of your.
Oh, you'll never know.
Okay.
So anyway, blackberries have been around forever.
Yeah.
And I'm fascinated because I was doing some research online, of course, trying to find out when the first record of a human being eating blackberries. Like, when did they find that? When did they find a body with blackberries in it? It was only 2,500 years ago. And it was a Dutch woman in a bog body, and she, and she had blackberries in her belly. So, but it was only 2,500 years
ago.
What
a lovely story.
Well, it is a good story.
No, it is. A bog
she's
body.
She's a bog woman.
No, she's a bog woman.
Yeah.
That is pretty fascinating. Because I didn't know if blackberries were old world, new world, but...
Well, they were documented in England in the 1600s.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
So, for medicine, because they're very medicinal. They're known for... what are they known for? I don't know. Something good.
You know, when I was a kid, we'd visit, because we never lived in the town that my grandparents lived. Mm-hmm. So, we'd visit them in the summer a couple of weeks, and they'd have a lake cottage. And one of my favorite things, I think it was more because it was dress up, but we would go into my grandmother's hand-me-down drawers, you know, and you'd basically come out looking like an Andrew sister. You know, you'd have
a costume.
You'd have a costume, but it was to protect you from all the brambles when you were picking. So you'd have long sleeves,
right,
and you'd have these goofy hats on that were more like a cloche, and it was
a pail hanging around your neck,
pretty much.
Yeah,
Our family's favorite story, which it gets better. And what I like about it is it makes me sound so cute. So I proliferated this song. This story will never die.
No, it won't.
But my grandmother always told it until she passed away, where we were picking berries and she said, well, I think we have enough. And I looked at her and I said, I don't think we do, Grandma. She said, no, I think we have plenty. And I said, Mom, or Grandma, nobody likes a skimpy pie.
Ooh, that was your first foray into being the pie expert that you are. So have you made a blackberry pie this
which
year?
Was quickly chased by my father saying, Tommy, nobody likes a smart aleck.
And oh.
Yes.
And
I learned later, everybody loves a smart aleck. Yeah.
That's why we live.
Exactly.
Yeah. So have you made a pie this year?
You know, my niece is visiting from Miami. Mm-hmm. And I taught, it's so funny because I had to teach her how to pick blackberries.
Oh.
Because the first time when she'd bring them to me, I'd go, what part of these berries is black? Not much. It would be like the green or red.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that's our joke. And so yesterday she managed to glean, I was surprised, it's pretty early, about a quart of blackberries for me to make a pie.
Oh, good.
And so the trick maybe is that it should fall gently into your hand when you just touch it.
I
know that trick.
Yes. Yeah, because you know, some people don't get it. Like, it's really, you know, it's one of those things where It is the quintessential example of how we all see things differently. And when you think you can tell somebody to go pick blackberries and they're going to come back with berries that are black, they don't.
Mm-mm.
And you go like, oh.
Well, those aren't black.
Those are like green and red.
Right.
And tart.
And you shouldn't have to force it from the vine, right?
It just falls off.
It has to be willing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who has a mulberry tree on the island. Have you ever had mulberries?
Yes.
Oh, I love mulberries. Mm. But they're pretty messy.
Amazing. That looks like, then you look like you've been shot at.
It's a blood, it's a bloodbath.
Well, yeah, I think I might be biased because when we lived in Alabama, we had a tree and it was under our clothesline. And so
Your clothesline?
It was,
you mean the clothesline was under
the
tree?
Yeah, exactly. It was a really tall clip. My mom was a giant.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you're right. But it was like my underwear always was stained with, with No, not from me, from bird droppings that stained the underwear.
Well, how handy.
And I was just traumatized by that.
I'm sure you were.
All I do is take PE class and be embarrassed.
Oh.
I know.
Well, we're not limited to blackberries time of year. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, everything's coming in. What's your favorite thing that's coming in right now besides tomatoes?
Yeah, I definitely like the BLT. My favorite thing, hands down, with a capital P, is the peach.
Oh, and, yes.
I eat a lot of peaches.
Me too.
I'm here to tell you how to take care of a peach.
Oh, good.
Because sometimes I just want to tackle people at the grocery store and shake them and go, that is not what you do. Because it's one of my pet peeves. Mm-hmm. People go in and they take these gorgeous fruits, these orbs that have taken a year to grow, and some farmer diligently produced this beautiful organic peach, and somebody sticks their thumbs in it to see if it's soft.
To see if it's ripe yet.
And I'll tell you what, they're never going to be soft because they ship them at a stage that's ripe, but it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. So you can take it home and quietly keep it on your counter for 2 to 3 days, even 4 to 5 days.
Do you put cover on it? Do you put a cover over it put them in a bag?
I put a linen tea towel.
So they're kind of dark.
Woven by nuns.
Well,
yes.
Of course. With organic linen.
Yes, yeah, yes. Keeps any fruit flies, and you just keep checking them. Mm-hmm. And and it'll take about a week. Really, if you want a perfect peach, it'll take... Because they ship them at a right time, you know?
We're going to take a little bit of a break here and come back and talk about peaches again.
Was it my remark about nuns?
Yes. But now I want to thank one of our wonderful sponsors who make it their business to help us stay on the air, Northwest School of Animal Massage. Voice of Vashon programming support is provided by Northwest School of Animal Massage. They have something for every animal lover, workshops, professional courses, and blended learning options. As students learn large and small animal massage for professional certification or to take special care of a beloved pet. Learn more at nwsam.com.
Nwassam.
Thank you. Nwassam. Yes. Thank you. So we're back.
Okay.
You're listening to Voice of Vashon, KVSHLP, and this is Stirring the Pot. I'm Linda Nygaard with Tom Conway and Arlette Moody.
Hello.
We're talking about peaches.
Yeah. Do you know about one of the... Okay, of course, I like to make peach pie. It's my absolute favorite thing.
It's kind of a signature pie for you, along with your lemon.
You
one.
Know, yeah. I'm down with that.
Yeah.
But there's one. There's like the super easy peach cobbler. I'm going to try to resurrect it from my brain cells. It's a easy peach cobbler, and this is one of those things where it just sounds ridiculous, but then when you make it, you kind of like it. And it's basically one where you take a 9x13 pan and you pop a stick. You put one stick of butter in there, and then when it's and then in a separate bowl you mix a cup of flour and a cup and a half of sugar and a tablespoon of baking powder, and you mix up all the dry ingredients, and then you put a cup of milk in it and you mix that with the dry ingredients. Mm-hmm. And then you mix it into the pan, which has been in the
oven. It's melted. The butter's melted.
And you mix it all together, and it's a big oozy mess that doesn't really go together. It seems odd.
Yeah.
You're looking at it going, really? Is this how it looks? And then you take 4 cups of peaches, and you just throw them all on top of it, and it blows up over it.
Oh,
and it makes this really killer cobbler.
It's kind of a cobbler.
It's kind of a, it's like a faux cobbler.
Yeah. Well, we'll put that recipe on online.
Great.
At the show, after the show. And excuse me, but I have to go back to blackberries.
Oh, yeah.
Another recipe that I'm going to put online for you is from a cookbook called PNW Veg by Kim O'Donnell. And it is blackberry pudding with tofu. It's vegan, and it is so good. It's the best blackberry pudding I've ever had. And
I'm intrigued.
It's really, really good. You wouldn't know it was tofu. That's
really?
For sure. Yeah. And so I'm going to put that on. And
that sounds good.
Yeah, so that'll be good. And we were also, yesterday when we were talking, we thought we would like to talk a little about some of the vegetables that are coming in, too. Like the carrots that you love for the salad
that
you were telling me about.
Can I give you a really quickie? This is like a super, 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 super quick ice cream, a sorbet recipe for blessed. As we tail off on berries. But this is something I make all summer, and it's so good, and people are relatively blown away by it. And... It is really easy. and you take 2 cups of berries, blackberries or raspberries, mm-hmm. and you put them in a blender and you just puree the heck out of them. And then you strain them.
Put the seeds.
Yeah, get the seeds out.
Yeah.
Because you don't want those. And then you add a cup and a half of sugar mm-hmm. and a juice of a lime or a lemon if you prefer. And then 2 cups of buttermilk. You stir it all up. Mm-hmm. You refrigerate it for an hour because it needs to get down to a lower temperature. Then you put it in an ice cream freezer. It's amazing. Okay. It is amazing. And all it is sugar, berries, buttermilk, and a citric acid like lime or lemon.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
It's a good one.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Can you do anything with thimbleberries?
Yes. Yeah. I admire them and say they're pretty.
Don't you like the flavor? I think they're very, very unique.
Oh, I like them. But I don't...
Can we have thimbleberries here?
Yeah.
I haven't ever seen them in the wild.
And I could have had one that wasn't what I thought was a thimbleberry because it was really dry. It was like kind of cottony.
Hmm.
Yeah, it could have been. I was like somebody who picked it unripe.
Well, I was gifted some by a friend who came to visit from Michigan. I think they grow in Michigan too. And we made jam and it was delicious.
I've never
seen them here.
Yeah. Point Robinson Road across from my house. There's a whole bunch of them.
Do you do jam or anything with
them? My kids love them. They're just...
They're so tiny.
They're tiny and they compact to nothing. You would need a lot of them to do anything with
them. We made a tiny bit of jam.
I thought maybe a fruit tart, they could be one little layer on a fruit tart maybe would be nice.
Yeah, for nice decorative.
Pretty decorative. But they're pretty little and they're not really juicy.
They're not, but they have a very unique flavor.
Mm-hmm,
almost sounds like a tay berry. Have you ever had those?
Yeah, they're kind of like
tay berries. I love tay berries.
Yeah, they're kind of like that.
They're from Scotland.
Well, you're not.
No, I'm not. Oh, so much for my voiceover.
It was good. It was really good.
Because it's crap if it's not from, okay.
I have to get you on Burns Night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, please don't ever do that to me.
I know. We already talked about that. You nearly died at the Burns dinner.
Oh, you notice how she sounded so bored that she had to recall that. I'm sorry that you had to revisit my torture that evening. Jeez, some friend are.
I really want to talk about this carrot salad, though, because I want to make it, and I don't remember what you said.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
It's so good.
This is a killer. And you know, I really am, since we do it on the radio, I try to do recipes that are relatively easy to remember.
Sure.
And a few ingredients, mm-hmm. but few ingredients with a great impact. And this is a great one. You get like 2 pounds of carrots. You mm-hmm. know, you can even do it. You know, that's really up to you. Pound to two. But if you're going to do it, make 2 pounds.
Yeah.
And you grate them. And I like them. People have different ways, different grading. You can do them thick or thin, but mm-hmm. you know, carrot salad. You want to be able to eat it comfortably.
You don't want chunks.
You don't want chunks. And so you get your carrots, and then I like golden raisins.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to get really fancy for a little different, and you could add golden raisins and Zante currants, you know,
ooh,
the little currants. Mm-hmm. And you put that in there and you mix it all up. And then in a separate little bowl, you whisk 2 tablespoons of olive oil. Mm-hmm. A tablespoon of honey, mm-hmm. and 2 small limes or 1 large lime, whichever, you know. It's basically about probably 2 to 3 tablespoons of lime juice. And lime has a really clean flavor. I almost like lime better than lemon when I'm doing stuff like that.
I do when I do stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah. So then you whip it all together, mm-hmm. and then you pour it in the carrot thing. You let it sit, and you just stir it. And then what happens is it activates some of the sweetness in the carrot. And it's really
crispy, nice, good.
Yeah, and it's sort of almost, I don't know what, but it keeps a really bright orange, you know, the carrots stay bright and pretty and mm-hmm. the raisins plump up and there's a tartness and a sweetness.
Yeah, I just,
it has everything.
I really like that. I do a carrot salad that's more Moroccan. It has some cinnamon and some cloves in it.
Mm.
A little bit of grated orange and some orange juice.
That sounds really nice.
For a dressing. We make a dressing basically the same way that you're doing it, mm-hmm. except you do it with oranges.
Yeah.
And add some cinnamon and some cloves.
Sounds pretty awesome.
It's really good. It's really good. And raisins, too.
Nice.
So, what other vegetables are... Oh, eggplant.
Eggplant.
Purple ones.
Yeah. What do you do?
Well, I like to grill them.
Yeah.
I like to make ratatouille.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but last year I got so tired of ratatouille, I just don't know if I'm going to make any this year.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do with it?
You know, I do a couple things. I like the grill thing where you take, like, I like to grow Asian style, they call them Asian eggplant. Where
oh, the
smaller,
little skinny ones.
Little skinny ones. They're about the size of a small zucchini. Mm-hmm. And I sort of butterfly them where you use slits, even slits, about 6 inches up, and then you can fan them out. and then you brush
for
them
fancy.
For fancy. It's a fancy thing. Exactly. And then you baste it with olive oil,
mm-hmm.
and you sort of grill it by itself. And then when they're
all... turn it over?
And I turn it over. It,
yeah.
Little salt and pepper. Mm-hmm. And then when it's, it looks like it's done, it's still holding together, but soft, then you spritz either balsamic vinegar on it, mm-hmm. if you want more of an Italian-y thing, or if
Yum.
You... But I like it, the sort of an Asia version is you put like rice wine vinegar on it with sesame oil.
Oh, sure.
And that's really killer.
Oh, I bet that's good.
Or sweet soy, which is a really great thing if you've never used it. It's a, you see it in a lot of Malaysian cooking.
I have
cooking.
Used it. It's
I love
really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a new discovery for me, but it's
me
really
too.
Good.
Me too.
And
yeah. I'm a big fan now.
Yeah. I like yeah. it too. I like it a lot.
Sweet soy.
Well, you know, speaking of grilling it, you
mm-hmm.
you can do a whole harvest dinner in August on your grill, including, you know, peaches for dessert. Grill the peaches, add a little mascarpone or some ricotta in there and drizzle them with honey.
That sounds really
good.
A
little bit of basil on top, maybe. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're so good. So are you grilling this year?
You know, I am kind of a slacker in the grill department.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking I was even going to... I used to be a purist. I would have like wood. I'd pick my wood. Mm-hmm. I'd do the whole thing. I'd have mm-hmm. a smoker. I had a really great smoker. It was my best garage sale find of all time. It was a... like a $500 smoker I got for $25.
And you don't have it anymore.
No, but that's I did give it to somebody because who knew how to weld because the legs had finally were coming
yeah.
apart. And but I used to, I would do like ribs in there for half a day or
mm-hmm.
it was great. Or you could do smoked
yeah,
salmon
I like
and it was nice.
Yeah. I wonder.
Bronfels.
Did we ever, oh, Texas.
Yeah, that's yeah. where it was made and that was the name of it.
Well, Bronfels is a. Barbecue heaven
yeah.
down there. It really is. But that's not what we're talking about today.
No, what are we talking about?
I think we're talking about
vegetables.
vegetables. Yeah. Well, the corn is coming in pretty soon. It's not quite here yet.
Yeah.
And that'll be good. That's really good on the grill too.
Yeah. Well, that's one of my favorite things to can is...
Oh, is it?
Is not corn itself, but corn relish.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. And it's the dopiest recipe. It's from Betty Crocker. But I tell you
is
what...
Is it sweet?
Betty did me a favor with that one. It's like a sweet pickle relish. Mm-hmm. It's not really a chow. Chow chow's super sweet. It's like yeah. southern super sweet yeah. tea sweet. But
how about pickle lily? Do you like pickle lily?
You know, I don't know that I've had it since I was about 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't had it in a long time either. But what you're talking about reminds me of it, and I think maybe
yeah
we ought to think about that this fall too. But so what's on your agenda for your fruit? Did you go get your peaches yesterday?
No, I'm going to go today after the show.
Are you?
Because I have to, as you know, because I have to go pick up a tree and I have a truck and I need to go get it.
Are
and
you
it's
planting
in Tacoma.
A tree?
I am. I'm planting a willow, which most people mock you for, but it's a beautiful weeping willow.
That's my favorite kind of tree.
See?
Is it?
Yeah.
I love them. They're beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I was a kid, there was a big one hanging over the public pool,
mm-hmm.
and I would always hang out underneath the willow because it was magical.
Mm. It is like its own little room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'll be nice. That'll be really nice.
I know, so I'm picking up that and then going to get peaches because I'm making some pies for somebody who asked that I would hire me to make
and
some
how
pies.
Many pies are you making, Tom?
Six.
Wow, that's a lot of pies.
I know.
Are they going to all be peach?
What's that? All peach. Yeah, I'll be
yeah,
all peach.
Be
yeah.
Good. Yeah.
And plus, I'll get a few. I need a few days for them to ripen, you know.
Well, I'm thinking about a peach upside down cake. That's on my agenda.
Yeah.
That's... In the skillet, in the cast iron skillet. Have you ever done that?
Mm hmm. And like a peach tartan?
Oh, yeah. But I don't do peach tartan. They're too juicy.
Ah.
But pear.
Much
yeah.
like you.
Stop.
Stop it.
Stop it. Help. Okay, so I want to tell you how to do this cake.
Okay. It,
you can make any kind of cake, any kind of white cake, yellow cake, whatever you want to make in
okay.
your batter. Just make a cake batter. Put your melt some butter in your cast iron skillet. Put some sliced peaches on the bottom. Sprinkle brown sugar on the top. Pour the cake batter over it and put it in the oven.
Nice.
That's it. It's just so good. And it comes out, those peaches come out all caramely. There's that brown sugar and butter just makes a lovely caramel. It's sort of tart to them,
yeah.
but it's different, you know, different ingredients.
No, it's nice too, because usually the cake has that real sort of almost a pudding texture,
mm-hmm.
you know, right
mm-hmm.
before,
mm-hmm.
You know, right when you flip it, that yep. the top part is that, not that dry.
Not that dry ick.
No.
Well, it looks like it's time to go already.
Oh, thank God. I thought we were an hour show and I thought I'm...
I've run out of things to say to you.
I've got at least till 1:45. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us at Stirring the Pot on Voice of Vashon. And we will see you next week. Bye-bye.